back off the deep end. Watch as we dive in. Welcome to another episode of Mike, and Oscar. Oscar Sprint Profile Time, taking a hard left or a U-turn, however you want to decide these directional courses that we go on. Back to our normal territory. We're going to be reviewing the big movie that we have previewed, I think, three separate times in three different episodes. A Star is Born. It is the Oscar Sprint Profile of A Star is Born. I am your co-host, Mike One. This is co-host also Mike.
Also Mike here. I have had the song Shallow in my head all week. You've just ruined it for the rest of the Oscar season for me now.
But everybody sues us because they crashed their cars.
I sang it. I like whistled it to myself. And the whole car ride home from the movie, we're just getting out of there.
Let's get that out of the way first. That's an incredible song.
Incredible song. Win for the next 10 years.
Easily. Grammys and Oscars, please. Probably Emmys. Why not give it a Tony as well?
Great song. It might be one of my favorite best original songs in a long time.
It is fantastic, without question. But yes, we are doing the deep dive into A Star is Born. And look, this is one of the big ones, and it's one of the big ones for a reason. It's all over every awards site, every awards prediction site. It's all over film Twitter. Everybody's gushing about it, loving it, giving it all the Oscars already, right? This is a big five sweep. A lot of people, Cooper's going to win it for director. He'd probably get a two because he's such a good actor in it. Lady Gaga, this is a star-making performance. Oh, it's so fitting that A Star is Born. It's going to win Best Picture easily.
This has bothered you.
It has gotten my goat, without question. I have been on this podcast numerous times claiming that for this movie to do these things and placate everybody's predictions, it's going to have to be Silence of the Lambs good. It's going to have to just blow the field away. Did it do that? We're going to talk about it.
You dislike bravado in all its forms.
Very ironic, because there is nobody full of bluster more than me. But yes, and we're going to get into all the ins and outs of it. And we will tell you if I was wrong, and I think I might have some penance to pay. That's a little teaser to say. But we're going to start, instead of cast and crew, Mike's going to walk us through the story inception first before we get to cast and crew. So A Star is Born, Oscar Sprint Profile, Mike, and Oscar. Take it away, Mike.
So quite simply, this is the fourth version of this story. 1937, Janet Graner, Friedrich March, original. Won two Oscars, was nominated for 8 total. 1954, Judy Garland version, was nominated for 6 Oscars total, didn't win any. 1976, Barbara Streisand remake, was nominated for 4 Oscars, winning Best Original Song.
Now, you've seen the Barbara Streisand one.
I've seen the Barbara Streisand one.
Did you see Judy Garland or not?
This is superior to that. Judy Garland, I did not see. I want to see. I think it's up on like Amazon or something, or maybe the Janet Graner one is up there. I'm gonna go back and watch these. Maybe we'll do like a quick episode or something.
Interesting to note that of the 3 previous ones, and now of the 4, the one you saw was actually the lowest rate, and you still had some pretty positive things to
superior
say about it.
To the Barbara Streisand.
And this
Streisand
one you're saying
version.
Blows it away.
Yeah, blows it away. No question about it. They get a lot of things right that movie got so goddamn wrong. Oh my God. Don't go watch it on Netflix. It's on there now. It's very tempting. Just go on YouTube and watch the Barbara Streisand videos, the music.
Right.
That's what's worth it. Yeah, that's worth watching. She's great. So cast and crew here, Mike. A Star is Born is co-written and directed by Bradley Cooper.
Was he in this movie?
He burst onto the scene as an A-lister after his role in Wedding Crashers.
Yes, he did.
That was his star-making performance, even though he was in the Wet Hot American Summer stuff early on.
Bradley Cooper's career, much like the latest winner of 6 Degrees of MMO, the round 3 winner, has kind of grown in terms of our movie-watching preference as well. He's in that buddy comedy, the beer-drinking Wedding Crashers that we quoted like idiots through high school and college. And he's mature. To the point of
crab cakes and football. That's what Connecticut does, baby.
And he's matured to the point of being this auteur, remaking A Star is Born, and being a bona fide Oscar contender anytime he's on screen. And we've matured to the point of having a podcast. And all the inside jokes that corrals.
I laughed so heartily in my own mind right there. It took me a minute to get over it. That's very good. The Hangover movies, Limitless, Silver Linings Playbook, American Hustle, American Sniper, his voice acting as Rocket Raccoon in the MCU's Avengers and Guardians of the Galaxy.
American Hustle deserved more love.
Right. These are his other career highlights in that filmography there. A Star is Born is now his feature film directorial debut. It's also his first work as a screenwriter.
Where are all the great directors going to come from, Michael?
They're right there for us.
They sure are.
They're making new movies for us. Yeah, yep. I mean, The Ringer's old quote, there's no new good filmmakers in Hollywood. We love The Ringer, but you are so wrong!
So many debuts in the last 2 years alone that have just been phenomenal.
Jordan Peele, Greta Gerwig, Ari Aster, Bo Burnham, now
Look
Bradley Cooper.
That's a great, yeah, off all the top of your head. Sweet.
Cooper has been nominated for 4 Oscars total as a producer and a lead actor in American Sniper, for his supporting role in American Hustle, and for his lead performance in Silver Linings Playbook there.
I think American Hustle deserved more love. Did I say that yet?
You said that, okay. Yes. You're senile. Bradley Cooper also stars as Jackson Maine in this movie, so triple threat.
What a great name, too.
Yeah, a very good name.
Jackson Maine.
Oh, it sounds like a star.
Yeah, it is. It is.
Being born.
Totally.
In the name.
I see what you did.
Writing credits also go to Eric Roth, Michael. He's penned screenplays for Forrest Gump, The Insider, The Curious Case of Benjamin Button, Munich, Ali, and The Horse Whisperer. A lot of Oscar nominations.
Which one of those movies do you wish he could have back?
That he can have back? Yeah. The Benjamin Button.
Oh, come on! The Horse Whisperer!
I don't know if I've seen The Horse
Whisperer. I haven't either. That's the bravado.
That's the bravado. There it is. I'm pinpointing it. Lady Gaga plays Ali. Gaga is, of course, the royalty of American pop music at this stage in her career.
I wonder,
stage in our lives,
if her nomination is going to be Lady Gaga or if she's going to actually go by her real name.
That's curious. Yeah, I don't know.
Because in the opening credits, she was Lady Gaga.
Right.
I didn't see the closing credits if she was Lady Gaga.
She's royalty. Yeah. She could just be Lady Gaga. Right. Madonna went as Madonna, right?
That's a good point.
Her acting career, Lady Gaga, includes an uncredited role, Michael, in The Sopranos as girl at swimming pool number 2.
Okay.
Bet you didn't expect that, little
that's
nugget.
That's news to me. I didn't know she was an actress on screen.
Gaga has also acted in Machete Kills and, of course, an American Horror Story where she won a Golden Globe.
She was great.
We've also reviewed the Netflix documentary 5'2" this past year. I think that was in our quarterly one. Gaga was nominated for 1 Oscar for her original song, Till It Happens to You, from The Hunting Ground. We just covered that last Friday in our 2015-16 Best Original Song episode there.
What a song. What a music video.
To cover her awards life, some highlights. She's won 2 American Music Awards, 7 Billboard Music Awards, a Golden Globe, like I said, for her performance in American Horror Story, Hotel, 6 Grammys, 2 MTV Music Awards, 3 People's Choices, 3 Teen's Choices, and 3 Emmy nominations.
She's a well-rounded talent.
Yeah, I couldn't even wrap my head around all the platinum records and all that stuff.
No.
It's out there for you. Go find it. The stats are insane.
She sings well.
Yes, and then she sings very well in this movie. Sam Elliott plays Bobby. Elliott is, of course, the voice of Coors, the banquet beer.
He's also the inspiration for Bradley Cooper's character this entire movie.
He's the absent-minded cowboy narrator of The Big Lebowski named The Stranger. Elliott has gotten some Oscar buzz for last year's The Hero.
Meh.
Didn't really pan out for him. He got some early buzz for that. More epic film roles for Sam Elliott, though, include Roadhouse, The Quick and the Dead, We Were Soldiers, Ang Lee's Hulk, Tombstone, and Go Figure. He had a stint on the TV series Mission Impossible in 1970 and 71.
How about that? It's all coming full circle.
Dave Chappelle plays Noodles.
Is what he referred to by a name at all in this movie?
No, he's Dave Chappelle, and he's his best friend.
That's
and
what
he
I thought
shows
too.
Up. Chappelle is known, of course, from The Chappelle Show on Comedy Central, an illustrious, hilarious career as a stand-up comedian. Michael, sometimes you just got to race.
But I was high.
Chappelle's acting career includes Chirac, Undercover Brother, Screwed, Baloo Streak, one of your favorites.
Yes, you can't. Touch me.
200 Cigarettes. You've Got Mail, weirdly enough. Totally forget he's in that movie.
A complete blindside. Did not remember that at all.
He's Tom Hanks' best friend in there, though. Woo, Half-Baked. Con Air. He is in Con Air, opposite Nicolas Cage somewhere.
Half-Baked was great. Con Air is great.
And he is in the role of Achu in Robin Hood Men in Tights.
A Jew? Here?
That's pretty funny.
No, not a Jew. Achu.
The A Star Is Born cast also features Anthony Ramos from Godzilla King of the Monsters. His face is going to be seen quite a bit in the coming years and in that upcoming Godzilla movie. The Ugly Truths, Bonnie Somerville, the 1980s, Andrew Dice Clay. I'm just giving him to the decade.
He was
That's not
phenomenal
a movie.
In this.
Excellent.
The whole Dice Clay persona was not in this movie.
I believed him
as
Gaga's
was just,
father.
Totally.
Just Italian.
This was just an Italian New
father.
York father.
New
yeah.
York father. Totally believable. Loved him. True Detective Season 1's Michael Harney. DJ Shangela Pierce, William Belly, Stephen Cicerone, Rebecca Field, Rafi Gavrone, Andrew Michaels.
Rafi Gavrone, he belongs in this movie.
That's
with that
a great
type
name.
Of name.
Jacob Taylor to finish out that IMDb profile, excuse me. So production notes, Michael, just a few. Principal photography began at the Coachella Music Festival in April 2017.
I'm glad to see that because during the previews and all the stuff, I've talked to you about this already, but you could tell there was an authenticity to that crowd in that giant scene, and it's in all the previews where Bradley Cooper's right. saying, maybe it's time to let the old ways die, and you pan over to that giant crowd, and it looked real, and I was thinking to myself, I highly doubt they green screened all of that.
So what
or
do you
computer
think?
Animated
do you
it.
Think they play a whole set? They play like 7 or 8 songs? I think they do, because I think they're, and they film, just get a lot of footage, because these guys are sweating. I mean, unless they're totally faking it and they're throwing water on them and staging it.
I was in the audience for Conan O'Brien's show, and they had to record something ahead of time, and then they didn't like the laugh that the audience gave one thing, so they only replayed one segment of something to get a better reaction from the audience. So I don't know. It could be a piecemeal type thing, or it could be just a set like you're saying. I would highly doubt that the people of Coachella would be okay with multiple takes of A Star Is Born
right.
making Bradley Cooper into this rock star.
And they're at multiple venues throughout this film. My guess is they record full sets at each one of these venues during,
yeah.
you know, pre-concert, or obviously I think they really take advantage of these festivals. So Clint Eastwood was originally attached to direct this movie with Beyoncé as the star that shall be born. That didn't happen. We get Bradley
Probably
Cooper.
Thankfully, right?
Yeah, I mean, we get Gaga. That makes much more sense.
I mean, Beyoncé would have been phenomenal in this role as well. Any of the top line performers that already have acting chops, we know they would be awesome.
I mean, Gaga and Beyoncé, two of the few people
right,
who could
sure.
handle.
Yeah, the top of the cream of the crop.
Exactly.
Would Clint Eastwood, was he going to be the star or just the director?
No, yeah, he was going to be Jackson Maine, you fucking fucker.
Was he really?
No!
That would be terrible. I would advise against that.
Yes, I would agree. It would have been flashbacks to the father, Clint Eastwood. Scott Eastwood, his mythological son that we've mentioned in a previous pod, would have played the brother.
Yeah, I'm glad they didn't do that.
Wow,
that would have
been you are overtired, and I have can't even make fun of you in a politically
Maybe
correct
it's time
way
to let
anymore.
The old ways die.
I can't even make fun of you in a classy way. I'm just straight up calling you your shit out. Oh my goodness, a lot of going on today at MMO.
We're far
so,
from the shallows.
Yes, sir. After seeing Lucas Nelson, son of Willie Nelson, perform at the Desert Trip Festival, Bradley Cooper convinced him to write some of the music for this film. Cannabis may or may not have been involved there, Michael. The Shallows is actually some of the harshest oogie 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 you can get, I gather.
Okay.
Did you like that copy? No. Your brain is...
Yeah, I'm just here to record, man.
That looked much better on the page
yeah.
than it did coming out of my mouth. Because I, as a man of my stature...
Oh, there it is. I didn't even see it. I wasn't following along.
Cannot anymore. Say oogie, oogie, oogie without...
Are you sure you even spelled that? People, I thought it was two O's, not people, a U.
But, that's good. That's a good point. Yes, Nelson wrote a few songs. He did not write Shallow, however. That was written by Lady Gaga, Andrew Wyatt, Anthony Rossomondo, and Mark Ronson.
Apologies for my naivety, but Mark Ronson is a very familiar name. I feel like that's a big name in music without having researched it ahead of time.
Yeah, he's a British musician, DJ, singer, songwriter, and record producer. His debut album, Here Comes the Fuzz, in 2003, top 10 singles in the UK. Big deal.
Yeah, big name.
19 songs on the soundtrack, Michael. Another 15 tracks of dialogue. That dropped in early October. Shallow is the hit single from the soundtrack, from the trailers, from our car ride over here. Bradley Cooper makes his debut on the Billboard Top 100 at number 14.
I think I'm most angry at the fact that he can successfully pull off that character and sing well.
Yes.
I'm just like, you. Don't you have enough going
does.
For you?
He sells you on being able to do it all live, too. I mean,
yeah,
he's
a rock star. He's a total rock star.
That's real talent.
And I had big doubts about that, and I'm recording, and I was totally wrong.
Gaga scoffs at the number 14 because she's been
as
number
she
one.
As she should.
but pats Bradley on the head.
Right, yeah.
Nicely, on the cowboy hat.
Welcome home, kid.
No, I'm making that up. So, Mike, you have some specs here.
Let's talk about some specs. For A Star Is Born, as also Mike told you, it is co-written and directed by Bradley Cooper, starring himself, Lady Gaga, Sam Elliott, and David Chappelle. It premiered August 31st at the 75th Venice Film Festival, as well as premiering at other film festivals all throughout September.
Sure. Yep. Yeah.
Warner Brothers Pictures is the production company and the main distributor in charge. MGM, joint effort, Gerber Pictures, and Live Nation Entertainment also involved.
Do you think, Michael?
Yes.
Gerber Pictures is like Gerber baby food?
I hope so. I hope so.
They've changed tracks. They
pivoted their business model. We're getting out of baby food. We're getting out of smushed carrots. We're going into Gaga
Pictures. See. Enough with the baby food.
Cooper, Bill Gerber, Todd Phillips, and Lynette Howell Taylor all credited as producers as well. $36 million production budget, according to Hollywood Reporter, and projected to hit around $50 million. I think the latest Variety had it at $49 million for the opening weekend. Once again, potentially blurring the lines between what exactly is an Oscar film, quote-unquote, and what exactly is a popular film, quote-unquote.
That'd be incredible if this makes $50 million this weekend and Venom makes $60 million.
Oh, we'll talk about what Venom's going to do in just a second and why. The Oscar buzz for this one is huge, unsurprisingly. Find me one person in Hollywood willing to say a bad thing on the record about Lady Gaga or Bradley Cooper, and I'll find you someone unconcerned about their career. But does the output match the hype? Well, according to early reviews from anyone not named Mike 1, hell and yes, respectively. It carries an 8.5 IMDb rating on over 10,000 user reviews at last check.
That's high.
Very, very high. Also carries with it a better than Best Picture-esque 87 meta rating, according to Metacritic. 54 critical reviews there with 13 perfect 100 scores. An additional 18 scores of 88 or higher. So of those 54, we're talking 31 that say 88 or higher.
These numbers are numbers I like.
These are definitely numbers. That is a fact. Low man on the totem pole being a lone 50 from Roger Moore, presumably not the ex-James Bond actor, but rather the critic employed by Movie Nation.
It's not references.
A 50. It's not a 50.
Right.
It's definitely not a 50.
Not references I would expect in your specs.
The Rotten Tomato info is curious, to say the least. Does carry a certified fresh 93% on 193 critical reviews, 180 of those being positive. Average critical score is 8 out of 10. Again, quite high.
Yes.
Its audience score isn't listed yet, but 93% claim they want to see it, but it'll likely end up with a higher audience score than Venom, also released this weekend. Why?
Guaranteed. Yeah.
Okay. Why am I randomly bringing up Venom, and why are we touching on it? Well, again, like we said, Venom does debut this weekend alongside A Star Is Born. They've had a battle back and forth as to who would take the box office. Right now, projections are that Venom will take about $60 million, beat out A Star Is Born's projected $49 million, and claim the domestic box office for the opening weekend of those movies. But if you haven't heard the story, just a little interesting tidbit. BuzzFeed News pitched a story just 2 days ago. We're recording this on opening night, October 4th. You'll probably hear it on the 5th. So just 3 days ago now, that postulated that some Gaga monsters, which is again what Lady Gaga fans online call themselves, were sabotaging Venom's box office chances by putting up fake negative reviews in an effort to sway people to choose seeing A Star Is Born over Venom for its opening weekend. Did it work? Is it even real? Well, both are tough to say. Venom is predicted, like I said, to win the domestic box office opening, so it didn't get hurt that much if it did get hurt. But there seems to be at least one instance that BuzzFeed found of a Gaga fan bot repeatedly throwing out scheduled negative reviews about the Venom movie on Twitter.
Oh my God. I just let you go with that. I couldn't even pepper
That's one of the most bizarre stories.
We're getting fake news involved with Lady Gaga versus Venom opening weekend.
I want a full investigation.
What the hell is going on here? What are we doing with the internet, folks?
Yeah, listen.
Think about what we're doing with the internet. What are we doing?
Mr. Rogers was right all
along. Gaga monsters are fake newsing against Venom.
Yeah, against Venom.
You don't need to.
Exactly. What are those two going to collide other than the weekend they picked? Okay, sure.
Insanity, Michael.
It's nuts.
All right, plot premise. A musician helps a young singer and actress find fame, even as age and alcoholism send his own career into a downward spiral.
This is a fantasy land. This is exactly what every person who sings in the shower dreams about happening.
And I love that fact of it, and I love how that thing spirals both for the good and for the ill.
The full story,
this movie,
yeah.
And it really works for me.
I actually think that hurts it, but we'll talk about that in the spoiler section.
Momentum builds in either direction.
It does,
and they do a nice job. All right, so what were your expectations for this, Michael? You kind of were lowballing it in many ways.
I just didn't think it was the best movie of all time. And so I pay a penance because I thought it would be disappointing. I don't know if it was disappointing, but it's very good. A very solid. I did get goosebumps. I know I'm tripping over my words. Got goosebumps during the first hour of this.
Right.
And I think that's important to mention. For the first hour, I said multiple times, son of a bitch. Like, God damn it. I know I'm wrong on this. And it was a very high. It had the potential to be a great movie.
I had a Cheshire Cat grin throughout that first hour as well. I also loved some major scenes in the latter half. I will be honest with you, because I do think they fixed some story plot holes from the last version of this so well. The last movie went on for 2 hours and 40 minutes. Like I said, the Streisand picture that I just watched on Netflix not too long ago. And this one was just like such a welcome change from that.
The pacing and everything.
I had lower expectations, kind of knowing what was going to happen in the plot.
Which is interesting too, because
that story
even,
is the same.
Even some of the payoffs you said were vastly different. I mean, it is,
They changed a lot, but the overall arc of the story is the same. So basically, this film, in terms of my expectations, I was expecting something great. I've loved the trailers. I've loved a lot of the music video watching we've done over the past few days.
I just thank God that this is finally in theater, so hopefully the previews, the TV spots can stop.
But the TV spots we've hated. We've mentioned those. But in terms of musical goods delivered.
Awesome. Absolutely awesome.
Even the musical numbers later in the film, and even the ones that are going negative, that have a negative connotation, like this is the part of the story where things are going downhill, those musical numbers work extraordinarily well for me. Gaga's performances throughout those musical numbers are extraordinary, in my opinion, of her best work. So in terms of my teaser review here, this movie delivers where I thought it would deliver.
I also didn't expect Bradley Cooper to be able to pull off totally being a rock star, and they answer that. They check that box in the first scene.
Right.
They start the movie with him being a bona fide, badass, kind of a country rock singer.
Yeah, I mean, Kris Kristofferson in the Streisand film sings like me. And he just couldn't project his voice at all. Cooper can do that.
He was a total rock star.
Coachella, dude. Yeah. And you're right. He's a rock star. So we're going to talk about our non-spoiler review of all the production values and then the performances through the Oscar lens.
Yes.
I want to open that up, Michael, with a brief presentation on Best Picture and Best Director. Best Picture here, Feinberg forecast number 3 on The Hollywood Reporter.
Just came out recently.
Yeah, has it as a front runner in his Best Pictures, but it's listed second. I don't know if the list matters.
Yeah, he's never been clear about if those are rankings or if they're just the general
his
layout.
Bundle
so,
of
yeah.
nominations. Gold Derby, 22 out of 23 experts have it up for Best Picture in their top 10s, 7 at number 1.
It's got to be concerning if you're a fan of the studio pushing this for a Best Picture win.
Right.
So, right? Doesn't 7 right away has got to be kind of a concerning number.
Well, I don't think there's a heavy favorite as of yet for Best Picture.
I agree.
It's still kind of an open race, I would say. So 7 is solid in that regard. It's a third of it.
It is.
So who knows. Award circuit has it. It's number 1 right now. Clayton Davis and company love it. Next Best Picture, 10 out of 10 critics over there have it up in their top 10s. 5 of them have it at number 1. So that's half of the critics there. So Matt Negley and company really enjoyed this as well. Some of our friends. Best Director, Mike.
We'll talk about Best Director, Bradley Cooper, obviously. Feinberg has him at number 2, listed at number 2 as well in the front runner category. Whether that means number 2, like we just said, same goes for director as
who
it did for
does
picture.
Number 2 work for him?
Oh boy.
That's the dorkiest joke in the history of the world.
Gold Derby, 19 out of 23 critics have Bradley Cooper in their top 5 right now for Best Director, but none of them have him at number 1. Award Circuit does have him at number 1 right now for their Best Director category. Next Best Picture as well, 10 out of 10 have them in their top 5, and 3 have him at number 1. So if you're going by the consensus there, it seems kind of split as to whether it's going to go Best Picture or Best Director.
Do you want to throw down any predictions right now yourself, Michael? Best Picture, Best Director?
It's going to get
or do you want to say
it'll be nominated for Best Picture. I don't think it gets nominated for Best Director.
Oh, you don't think he gets
nominated? I don't
think so. I think some of it's very, very strong in the direction. I'm going to get into that, but I really loved the way he filmed the performance pieces. I thought that was just super strong montage filmmaking, which I just dig so much. And he knows when to hang on a close-up of Gaga and just let her do her work.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Close-ups are a big part of this as well.
Right.
Yeah, totally. Listen, it's a great directorial effort. I just think it's going to be so nominated that when we talk about the Oscars puzzle, like we do every year, there's going to have to be some category that gets sacrificed incompletely.
Yeah, to make a musical metaphor here, in terms of the direction, in terms of the overall story, in terms of best picture, I think there are a lot of off notes. There's off-key moments in here that I was surprised to find, even because I love the cohesion of the trailer so much. Not the TV spots, which could have been a red flag.
Yeah,
we could have recognized those as a red flag. I'm going to still come out very high on this movie overall, and I would agree with you. I think it's a shoo-in for a top 10 Best Picture nomination. I think in any year, it is a strong film. I've seen worse films win this award.
Win Best Picture?
Yeah.
Do you have an example?
Crash, and I would probably rate this movie a tad higher than Shape of Water. I mean, it's close.
I don't know how I feel about that.
I'm a little higher on this movie than you. We have the three-point curve coming up. It's there. So, and Best Director, I'm seeing a little more of it than you at the moment. But we'll see. We got to rewatch these movies, and we'll leave you in suspense.
I just think there's so many directors out there that are going to be, you know.
Yeah, I mean, is it going to be your Best Director or the Academy's? I'm saying it might be the Academy's.
Well, here's where I fall on it, if you want me to go into a little bit of the Oscar puzzle now. Something like Eighth Grade, I think, is going to get recognized. Now, it's probably not going to make the Best Picture cut. They're going to want to give Bo Burnham some love. Do they give him love in the original screenplay category, or do they just go full bore and try to make a star with him being the director? Are they going to feel bad about muscling out Bo Burnham and something like that if they give Bradley Cooper that nomination as well as the actor nomination? That's kind of where I'm thinking. I just think it's going to be this. There's going to be some category where it's not going to make the cut.
I think the Academy recognizes ambition in a film. And I know, again, scale doesn't always matter. And we've discussed this with, you know, best popular films not getting nominated. Something like Eighth Grade is a small independent film. And I think it reaches the heights in terms of the drama where it dives deep and cuts us deep. And that really works for us. But in terms of what he's doing cinematically, Bradley Cooper is going off in terms of directing for me. So someone like Bo Burnham probably gets original screenplay or might get a nod somewhere else.
Yeah,
I'd be surprised if at the end of the day, the Academy doesn't recognize the scale here, even though those off notes are...
It's going to be interesting to see what happens for sure.
All right, so some production values. Adapted screenplay, Michael. Gold Derby has 16 out of 22 top fives, currently two number ones. Award Circuit is at number two for adapted screenplay. Next Best Picture, 10 out of 10 top fives with one number one. What did you think of the script here, Michael?
I feel strongly about this one making the final cut more so than director, I think. For me, the adaptation of and what they actually put on screen, I think, was very strong, especially if you do consider it's a rookie effort directorially. I thought it was very, very well done.
Eric Roth's also had a ton of Oscar nominations.
That's true as well.
So, I mean, he really knows how to adapt anything. He's got quite a career there. I was shocked when I saw when I went into this movie today and I saw Eric Roth, Forrest Gump, and all these Oscar nominated films.
The big names over
this is quacking like a duck. Right. He's probably going to put his spin on this or put that magic golden touch there. So that's adapted screenplay. I would say the story has some problems. You're going to mention something that you have a big problem with the third act when we get into spoilers. I would probably agree with you for the most part. Tonally, there's a little bit of an issue there, although I have less of a problem with the script, I think, at the end of the day.
I'll be completely transparent. The two, I'm very high on two things coming out of this, feeling good about two nominations, or at least I guess I won't say feel good about it because I can't officially predict until we get all the Academy senses out there. But for
you're
me,
a man who takes his time,
I would put Bradley Cooper's performance in top five right now, and I would put adapted screenplay in the top five right now.
So that makes some sense.
Talk about cinematography, another strong contender, and certainly one that was making noise. Gold Derby, 10 out of 18 critics have it in their top five. Zero number ones, but seven top threes, I thought was kind of interesting.
Sure.
As well. It's not getting
highly rated,
huge acclaim, but it's finishing either second or third.
These are the main Oscar pundits on Gold Derby, too.
These are the big, the national names. Award Circuit is carrying number four right now for cinematography. Next Best Picture, 8 out of 10 top fives, but no number ones.
Curious. I just think the performance work in this movie, you know, filming at Coachella. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's some epic cinematography.
Sure. That I agree.
Looks
totally agree.
So good.
It looks
the
great.
The way they incorporate those shining lights aback,
the lens
Bradley
flares,
Cooper,
yeah.
I mean, that's amazing work. And obviously the editing we're going to get to in a minute. The composition of it all is pretty incredible to look at. Costume design, Gold Derby, 6 out of 18, top 5, 0 number 1s. Award circuit, number 15, 0 out of 10, top 5s. Getting some mention there. Film editing, as I said, Gold Derby, 14 out of 18, top 5s, 1 number 1. Award circuit has it at number 2, 10 out of 10, and Next Best Picture with 1 number 1. Film editing, to me, makes a lot of sense at the end of the day. There's a lot of montage in this movie.
They were basically cutting multiple music videos together, so it does make a lot of sense.
It makes, yeah. And they do a nice job with the dramatic scenes, the back and forths there, when to go close up. I mean, film editing would make a world of sense to me. That's also an indicator of a lot of Best Picture
nominations.
Nominations.
They share those nominees quite heavily throughout the years. Production design, going to start wrapping up the categories here. Gold Derby, 7 out of 17 top 5s right now, 0 number 1s. It's number 21 on awards circuit right now, 0 out of 10 for Next Best Picture.
Doesn't make a lot
of
sense.
The sets were nice, but they were also the biggest, most comprehensive sets were probably Coachella, where the audience was already there and going to be doing their own thing regardless, waving their flags.
Makes sense. All right, so the best production value at the end of the day is the music. This story. Shallow is number 1 on award circuit. I'll Never Love Again at number 2. Why did you do that at number 7? 10 out of 10 have A Star Is Born original song at number 1. Best original score, 2 out of 10 at Next Best Picture. Best sound editing, 2 out of 10. Best sound mixing, award circuit has number 1. Just to give you a smattering of what's out there. The sound of this film
gonna get
delivers.
Nominated. Definitely going to get nominated.
On a level. I mean, have you gone to a film in a while and had that much enjoyment through your earbuds?
Eighth Grade was big for me, but yes, I understand your point. And music obviously plays a much bigger role in this one than it did in Eighth Grade. And I think, without question, the thesis you're throwing out there, that the sound has played such a critical role that this is going to have to carry some nominations, I think it's absolutely true.
The high point that Shallow is.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, the other musical numbers
song,
really
yeah.
work, and they're pop
song
musical
at the
goodness.
End. Beautiful, yeah.
To have her talent work as hard as she does during those musical numbers is incredible.
She's something else.
Original score I don't get necessarily, because this movie doesn't really have
it.
A
doesn't
score.
Have a score unless you consider all the songs the score of the film, and if you do, it's got to be up there for original score.
Maybe there's an original score.
Yeah, I'm confused by that as well.
Yeah, it usually takes us a couple watches before we get original score down. All right, so performances, Michael. Bradley Cooper, best lead actor. He is number 1 front runner right now on Feinberg, which is saying a lot.
Yep.
Gold Derby, 18 out of 20. With 6 number 1s. Award circuit has him at number 1. And Next Best Picture, 10 out of 10 number 1s.
So he's number 1 on all 10 of Next Best Picture's critical ratings right now.
So
that's awfully impressive.
Pretty incredible. And that's with William Dafoe, Christian Bale, major contenders, Ryan Gosling to still weigh in here. The best actor race hasn't really come together for us yet.
Nope. Not yet, and I think a lot of it's going to be said. A lot of late movies. Freddie Mercury was the other one I was thinking of. I couldn't think of before, but Rami Malek is going to probably weigh in. We'll see how that one's handled.
He has Oscar reel scenes. He has versatility. He does the subtle performance though here too.
Bradley Cooper is. I think I'm surprised by how good his performance is. Thinking that this was going to be Lady Gaga's big vehicle.
Yeah, and then he's a rock star.
Right.
And he's the coolest looking country music star
by far.
Ever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I mean,
he plays it. That drawl I was concerned about too. He does it the whole movie, and he's monotone, but he's monotone because that's his attitude. That's the character's attitude. And it really plays well, and it works.
Mike, how many Bradley Cooper as Jackson Maine lookalikes are going to go through our culture in the next few years? That beard, that hairdo. We're going to see Jackson Maine everywhere we look.
Sure are.
Because this is a trend-setting performance. He looks as cool as they get.
He does. He was awesome in this. This is where I place my money. Lady Gaga can't shake a stick at her either. She's number 3 right now, according to Feinberg, as far as lead actress goes. Mm. Gold Derby's 22 out of 23 top 5s, 8 number 1s. And this is why I was thinking, everybody has her so high, and everybody's been gushing about her. I don't know why I'm not as crazy about her. She's number two in award circuit, short of Glenn Close. Next Best Picture, 10 out of 10. Top fives with three number ones. She's not Toni Collette or Glenn Close.
No, she's not as good as those two. I think it might be a recency bias. It might be everybody's so pleasantly surprised at how good she is for essentially a starring feature film debut.
Debut, yeah. And she was great. She is phenomenal in this.
And she is probably going to be in my top five at this moment.
At this moment, yeah.
I don't know if she'll last. I think her performances in this movie are just staggering in terms of the musical performances. I think she has some of those off notes that I mentioned. And yes. I mentioned it in the trailer, just like her reactions over the top when he's like, I got to take another look at you, which I was very happy to see that face really did. They didn't linger on that face the same way they did in the trailer, which was great.
It's something we actually brought up in The Nun, how the trailer takes are getting to be different than what you actually see in the movie.
Yes.
Which is... even though they're keeping the scene that because sometimes back in the 90s, you used to have these scenes in the trailer that just weren't in the movie at all. And now it's just a different take.
It affirms really my taste, and I'm very happy about
yes,
this.
Yes,
because that was an awkward facial
I too thought it was
reaction.
Handled well. Yeah,
that reaction shot, I hated. It was just like, and they didn't have that in the movie. They had something totally different. I was so relieved. All right, Sam Elliott, Best Supporting Actor, Buzz Feinberg, number five on his front runners list. So he's getting nominated according to Feinberg. 17 out of 20. Two on Gold Derby. Experts have him in their top fives. Three number ones. Award Circuit has him at number one. Award Circuit, they love this movie.
I'm so confused.
Next Best Picture, 10 out of 10 top fives with four number ones. So Michael, Sam Elliott is getting buzzed.
We've been watching movies for forever. Was this a standout supporting actor performance? He was very good.
He's got some Oscar reel scenes, if there ever was one. Some of the off notes in terms of the screenplay involve his character.
I agree with that as well.
Every time he meets with Bradley Cooper, they have to have the deepest conversation of their lives. That it's not any day conversation, never mind every day conversation.
Except that neither one of them can express anything, which I get is also in their characters.
But in the dialogue, right, they express everything right. Brother wishes they could ever say to another
very
brother.
Very bizarre.
So yeah. That's like going to be one of, that's like my worst scene. Like as much as I love his performance, Sam Elliott, and especially his reactions to what's going on, it's on the nose dialogue. It bothers me, and that's where I land on it. I can't help myself. So we got to dance.
Yeah, let's dance. Obviously, this is a watch for both of us.
Yes.
So let's hit the music. Spoilers ahead. Spoilers ahead.
This is a spoiler warning.
Spoilers. 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 Spoilers.
Mike, and Oscar Sprint, spoilers!
This is the spoiler section for A Star is Born. If you have not seen the movie yet, if you want to see the movie, if you don't want to hear our thoughts, or you don't want to hear the twists and turns of the movies, this is a good place to hit pause, go back, go listen to our best original song, Half-Episode, where Lady Gaga was in it for If It Happens to You from 2015, and then go watch a movie and get yourself all gaga'd ready and gaga'd up. Once you see the movie, or if you want to hear our thoughts on twists and turns, or if you just plain don't care about seeing it first and want to hear what happens, this is a good place to give you a warning. This is all spoilers all the times, heading in to now the spoiler section for the Oscar Sprint profile of A Star is Born from Mike, and Oscar. We usually start with immediate carryovers. I want to start with my worst scene and my biggest problem, and why I think this is not a Best Picture worthy movie. And it really, I'm giddy with glee that it's not, but that's because I'm a sick, perverse man.
I just want to say this right off the bat. Because it's not an all-timer, it doesn't make it a bad movie.
It's not a bad movie. I gave it a good grade. I think it's a very solid movie, but it's... Can we have... The first hour was so deliberately paced.
It swept you up.
It did. And you're buying the story completely. And then... You rush through the second hour and you don't let any emotion come out of... If you have this movie, and there's no emotional resolve for a movie where you have to care about character development so much, the entire second half is very rushed. There's no negative repercussions that play out.
I think the first half, you seep a lot of that in with the Bradley Cooper's discontent. Then that's going to be my argument. I feel like a lot of...
I hate that argument.
Well, it's there. It seeps through. Like it's going well for her. Like her dream's about to come true, and yet they have that argument with the cake. The first argument with the cake.
Yeah.
And then have sex, and he's basically telling her, "Don't sign with this manager.
Right.
Don't go down this path. He's gonna screw with you. He's gonna f you up." And because he's self-destructive, and because he doesn't want to derail her in any way, he doesn't want to deal with his problems, as one does that's in his scenario, he lets it happen, and he kind of self-sabotages their relationship and himself there. So I saw a lot of the negativity, because I knew it was coming in the second half, through the first half of the movie. There's a lot of red flags.
Yeah, as far as being a self-destructive person, sure, but the big reveal and the big twist of this is Bradley Cooper ends up killing himself and hanging himself in his garage. That, right. He commits suicide towards the end, and he does that as a result of numerous things, mainly depression, secondly alcoholism and drug
to
abuse,
me,
and also Lady Gaga goes from a hopeful wannabe superstar to a legitimate pop star, but she kind of sells her soul to save her career and become this Britney Spears, Christina Aguilera clone, essentially, from the 90s.
But to me, I bought Bradley Cooper as a suicidal guy in the opening scene.
The only way it makes sense is if he was decided he was suicidal from the very get-go before he met her, which I guess he could have been. But he wasn't. I mean, he was drinking himself to death.
He was drinking himself to death. I mean, that's suicidal, even if it's
but he was
not
still performing.
Dealing
he
with
was
it
still,
directly. I mean, and you get the backstory.
But look at all the emotional stuff that happens. His brother leaves. There's no play out. There's no repercussions about his brother firing his brother.
They bump into each other at SNL.
He just comes back into his life and he's like, oh, I forgive you. I was thinking about hiring you back.
That's their way to deal with things.
The Chappelle scene is kind of an excuse. He comes out of nowhere. He's supposed to be this lifelong friend. Mike, in our theater, during that scene, when he gets, it's supposed to be this big emotional pivotal scene. He gets this guitar string and makes a engagement ring essentially out of it and puts it on Lady Gaga's finger. And the score is silent. Everything's silent in that movie. Time is supposed to have stopped. And in our theater, people laughed. And to me, it was a judgmental laugh. It was not a, this is sweet, oh my God laugh.
I think that it's funny in a weird way, but I think that's an indication. Again, this is red flag territory. This guy,
I'm not disagreeing,
is off a bender, and I'm going to marry this woman because she is my port in the storm speech from Dave Chappelle. He is desperate to me. I read him as desperate in that first half of the film. He is so desperate to cling to someone that he asks her to marry him in that instance, and it's totally batshit crazy.
Here's the list of shit I wrote down. All right, he does the brother thing. His brother just shows back up. There's no playing out of that. He's pissing his leg on the Grammy stage 1 minute, and he's been in rehab for 2 months already. The very next scene. He passes out on Dave Chappelle's lawn. Lady Gaga is there the next scene with no wait time in between, no self-evaluation. He's unhappy, but I didn't get suicidal, and I know I'm not a doctor to claim when people take their lives and what it should be and how they should act and all that. As an audience member, I'm saying, having seen multiple people in dramatic scenes, comedy scenes, take their lives, I was not prepared for that ending. And it wasn't like a shock ending. It was like, oh, that kind of came from out of nowhere. That's kind of a nowhere. I didn't feel his depression had been built to that point. And the main reason why is in the rush that the script had. Why am I emotionally invested in any conflict Cooper's character is having if I don't see the payoff to any of it or the resolution? All I see is the outcome. There was no development.
I knew it was coming, so I was looking for it the whole movie, and I found it the whole movie. So let me walk you through it step by step. I mean, like I said, early on, he's drinking himself to death. But for me, every major conversation is him basically on the freaking edge. Every major conversation with his brother, Sam Elliott, which was, I thought, a cool screenwriting trick. We don't recognize he's his brother in the first third of the film.
At that middle of Act Two, that was nice
to say, all right, that is his brother. I think
that was good. I agree. That was totally great.
But, their over-the-top conversations, which bothered me tonally, they make sense with a suicidal man who's just dropping these heavy scenes. That makes sense to
me.
Okay,
that's fine. That's fine.
You know, the fact that he is spiraling is very clear on the stage, literally at the Grammys, pissing himself. This is a guilt-ridden man already based on his early life, with his father being a drunk and a suicidal guy who tried to commit suicide in front of him. So to me, it was a 2.5 hour movie the last time I've seen this story play out, and it took so fucking long. I was almost glad that they kind of hit major highlights in that third act where they just went from his Grammy performance, which happens in the Streisand movie too, and then they do the long, it's like 40 minutes of them just living out in a teepee in the middle of the desert in the Streisand version. And yet in this movie, they kind of just, they buy a house and it's more normal. And they keep the momentum of her career, the ruining of her career in his eyes. And I think that's the other main through line to me, which really breaks him up. His
acceptance that he's no good for her career.
Not only that, but he cannot convince her to be the type of artist that he hoped her to be, which I think is the main addition from the last few versions.
Yeah, I think I'm resentful of that.
I love the truth. It's on the nose, Michael. It's totally on the nose.
But I'm going to kill myself because I can't make you see things my way.
I don't know if it's one-to-one logic like that or one plus one equals two logic like that. I think that he's telling her throughout the story that you are not yourself.
I agree with that.
And he tells her after rehab.
And she doesn't really have that come to Jesus moment.
She is ignoring him more than one occasion. And she is basically...
I mean, she recognizes it, but she is so desperate to please everyone, including her manager.
He doesn't have the connection to her that she thinks she... And she's almost at arm's length with him, too. Like, do you want to still be married to me after rehab? Like, she doesn't know if it's all real. Like, you were drunk when you met me. Like, to him, he's despairing in that scene. It's like, what do you mean you don't want to be? What do you mean you don't expect me to come home? He's barely hanging by a thread in that scene. And she's like, well, we don't still have to be married. So to me, he is despairing that they don't have the connection he thought they did. And that's why
I'm just angry because I think to me, that's him misreading the situation. Because when I saw that
it totally does.
Right.
I agree.
And to be, again, I can't relate to it, to being suicidal and having decided to end your life. I can't relate to that kind of pressure, but when she's giving him that life raft saying, look, I'm just, that's her to me saying, I don't know what you want to do. I'm just checking. I want you to be happy. I want your life to be okay. And for that, to me, that was so glaringly obvious that selfishly dust that aside.
That's fascinating.
And play the victim
again. I'm looking for him. And I'm looking for his warning signs because I know what's going to happen.
Maybe that's
where
it comes
from. You're relating to Gaga's character, which is fascinating to me because you don't know what's coming for him on your first watch. So as I didn't the first time I saw the other movie, so it makes sense to me. Like, and I loved the Streisand character in the other movie, and I hated the Christofferson character in the last one. So we're almost having parallel universe.
I'll be honest,
experiences here.
I didn't expect him to hang himself. I expected one of two things to happen. I expected when he gave his dog his steak, I expected he either would just leave, and that would be it for him and Gaga. He would leave without her knowing, or he was going to drive to the concert, crash, and die. I thought he was going to meet his demise, but I didn't think it was going to be by his own hands.
So, me, this
directly
works,
by his own hands. I guess I
to
say.
Me, this does work better because you're. I do see why he did it, and in many ways, it's extraordinarily sad. And he's despairing because he doesn't have the connection with her that he thought he did. And that's one way to read it, but that's how I do read it. Even though he knows he has some connection to her, he knows he wants to soften the blow in a way. And that guy's conversation, who he doesn't respect, that manager, he does understand that manager levels him with reality. Because the manager, here's the thing about
reality,
the manager.
A reality. Because I think he knows that their connection is still legitimate. And if they didn't, that end song wouldn't have been the end. That wouldn't have happened after he came out of rehab.
But here's the thing. He's so wise to all the game playing that these managers doing. He's had a long
career. He knows the music industry, certainly.
Why would a manager turn the husband of her client against him?
Because he's young, brash, and thinks he's bigger than he is. I thought that was the whole point of having a young manager.
But this guy has been around the block a bunch of times, too, even being so young. He knows that this guy would not...
When you're a young well-to-do and you're already
successful,
Gaga's
gonna side with Bradley Cooper. If Bradley Cooper wants Gaga to side with Bradley Cooper, and Bradley Cooper knows he still has power, he could have power over
she
Gaga.
Started to.
Over the manager.
I don't know. That's a definite
to
thing.
Me. The manager, maybe it's bravado from the manager. I read that a little bit differently. To me, the manager wouldn't commit suicide in their relationship with Gaga and Bradley Cooper by side like that. You wouldn't do like we. If you had a girlfriend, I wouldn't go against her because you would defriend me if you really loved her. I mean, that always happens in relationships.
I understand your point there. But I also think that, again, she didn't have an identity this whole movie. I mean, she knew she was starstruck, but she wanted to sing. That's all she really knew about herself. So I thought that scene where she explains to the manager, Bradley Cooper's coming on this tour with me or you cancel it. That was like her first, that at least was some development. She's like getting an identity. She is starting to side with him. I don't know that it was a foregone conclusion that if push came to shove, that would have happened.
The structure of the story is he's more of a mentor hero to her.
Yes,
and that's
I agree
sad.
With that.
That's sad. That's a sad fact in a romance because for that, imbalance.
And yet he was more dependent on her.
Oh, totally.
Physically, but like mentally.
That's why what she says to him hurts him so much more than it hurts her. Like he'll just go off on a tangent. Oh, you're ugly. I mean, that's hurtful, very much so. But to me, when she says, you know, you're like your father or something.
Right.
And then when
that
she says later on,
yeah.
when you don't still have to be married to me. Like, we don't have to do this. And that, to him, that ruins him in that scene. And then he goes back to her being the same orange-haired pop star. That was devastating to him. At least that's how I read it.
I just wish it wasn't so rushed. I wish there was more introspective by Bradley Cooper unto himself. I wish that was allowed to play out. Like, the first free chance he gets, the first minute we see him alone with his thoughts is when he decides to kill himself.
Yeah, it's not that movie. Where I guess you can argue that maybe he's alone in his thoughts and the thoughts are coming out through his music. And
but we don't even get like the side glance. Like we don't even get the shot where Lady Gaga's talking to someone else really and he's staring at her and trying to judge things for himself.
Again, to me, it's a lot of little moments that pile on each other that explain why he commits suicide. And I buy it. I buy that he was in despair and in crisis through the whole
middle
of the film.
And I could be in the minority here. To recap, though, I think we both agree, the second half of this movie is what keeps it from being an all-timer.
Well, to me, there's off notes. And again, my worst scenes are the kind of the awkwardness that he has with the brother character. It's not even the two big scenes where he punches him or when he is finishing the car ride. It's during the car ride where they're talking about their childhood and what it meant to be in the band. And that stuff like that is never in any everyday conversation, ever.
It was also at the end of the freaking car ride.
And at the end of the car ride, then he has
this
moment
big emotional
where
baggage.
I was really
looking up
you know,
to you.
I idolize you and
not
I
dad,
idolize
yeah.
my dad. And, you know, it works in an arc of their conversations. There's a beginning and middle and end to their conversations, but it's silly. It's just so composited, you know, and smushed together.
Can I
that
say, I really didn't like the end performance. I love the end performance. I really didn't like the montage that they show.
Yeah.
Like, we just sat through this movie.
This is
it's
my
not a TV show.
I agree. It's my biggest problem in musicals, and it's a great performance and a great song. And
without question.
But she's literally stating the
right.
text
the
and the subtext
the,
yeah. in the song.
And the lesson, the moral. Yeah,
the moral.
Right.
And I just hate that in musicals. I wish there was, like the song The Shallow, I wish there was a couple layers of metaphor there.
Yeah.
Just not like we're never going to love. I mean, that song
never
is.
Never going to give you up. Never going to let you down.
That song is very negative. I mean, you could take it very negative.
Sure.
It explains
it could be about addiction.
Why he kills himself.
Yeah.
It explains
sure.
his addiction and his despair. And she's singing that to an audience. So I guess there's an extra layer or there's a little, you know, a bit of irony there, dramatic irony in a very sad way to that performance. And I think that's something to be said. That's not easy to figure out in your debut film as Bradley Cooper, and that's something written in purposely into the script. And so there's a lot to admire here in this movie, Michael, as we wrap up.
Touch on some positives here right before we say goodbye, because again, we are much higher on this movie than we are lower. The only reason we kind of harped on the negative here is because once again, the hype going into it, this was going to be a top five, a big five
sweep all the big categories.
And it's not. It's going to contend, certainly, right. And it's going to probably have double-digit Oscar nominations when the day's over.
Yes.
But it's just not one of those that's going to sweep the big five categories. It's not going to be the all-time one of the masterpieces of cinema.
The only way it does is if this is a down year and these other movies really fall on their face.
I can't see that. With Black Panther.
It's not winning a bunch of awards for you right now.
The main awards,
winning adapted screenplay and Bradley Cooper.
And Bradley Cooper's number one.
An original song.
Yes.
Okay. So, and that's both our best scene, I think.
The original song. And again, we want to highlight the positive before we leave. The Shallow is just blown away.
I buy the whole story of that song.
The fact of it in the parking lot. Yeah.
And I buy the fact that she's shown off for him a little bit
there. Yeah, me too. This is my chance. Where am I ever going to get the chance again?
I buy the fact that she's the hero rejecting the call. And she doesn't... Again, she's been living in a world where her dreams can't come true for so long that she's like, oh no, I can't go. I'll go to work instead of...
But I was putting myself in that situation too. It was like, if this were to happen to me, of course you're going to go to work. Like, you can't just drop everything. Life's not actually a movie.
And that's what she's saying to herself. Right. We're as jaded as she is. Yeah. We're the early 30s jaded as she is there. And she's in her early 30s. And that makes sense.
Right.
At this point, like if this was a 20-something... Like a 21-year-old?
Sure.
And it was played by Zendaya. Zendaya would just jump in a plane with him immediately. And if they had that connection, I would ridicule it
and say how stupid young people are.
I don't want to make judgments, but...
No, I get your point.
Gaga, that speaks to us so
well. It's realism. It's very grounded in realism.
And it makes... I love that arc.
And there are little moments like that. We'll get back to The Shallow in a second, but there are little moments like that, just as an aside, that I think substantiates the adapted screenplay part of this.
True. And again, to me, I have off-note criticisms. I don't have any major criticisms with the plot. You have a major criticism with the plot, though.
To me, and I know I'm in the minority of it, certainly if you go by criticisms, but The Shallow, far and away the best scene for me.
But what do you think in terms, because you have adapted screenplay up, you just think some of the scenes are so strong that you think the script will get...
I think overall, it's incredible. I mean, we can do grades now.
But you have a plot hole.
But I just think, to me, I wish I saw more development from that main storyline. I wish I saw more introspective. It's not even that I was upset by the quote-unquote surprise. I figured he was meeting his demise. I just wanted it to be... I thought it was more fitting to be a different way, and that's a me problem.
Makes sense, and I've gone through my argument. I'm more on the side of I have nitpicks with the plot, not necessarily any major plot holes with it. So,
and I got bad news for everyone that thinks him putting his cowboy hat down is a big deal at the end there and very symbolic of his death. He took that from The Undertaker at WrestleMania 34.
Did he?
Or 33, yeah. Undertaker took his hat off, his gloves off, put it in the middle of the ring.
Eric Roth, Bradley Cooper, one of them is watching wrestling. And yeah, that makes sense. I think Undertaker stole it from a Western, like a 9,000 Westerns.
I don't follow.
The hat. Okay. Anyway, I think this movie soars in the middle. I mean, there's some of the best feel-good moments.
I have had goosebumps, I think, to two movies this year, and we'll get into them as we get closer to the Oscars. This is the third one. That first hour, I had legitimate goosebumps. I was pissed because I was predicting this wasn't going to be one of the best movies of the year and it felt like it was getting there.
It's the same story structure in a tragedy as Braveheart, as Million Dollar Baby. I know there's spoiler alert there for two other Academy Award winning movies.
Yeah, kind of.
Just general story structure. They fit the same templates in my mind. And I can go
That's
through
a comparison.
Comparison. We'll
That's
be here
comparison.
All night. But it's definitely there. See the scaffolding.
Especially with Million Dollar Baby. I think that's a very
and
good comparison.
There's some high moments in those other two movies as well.
Certainly.
The ramp up before you get to the tragedy.
Million Dollar Baby was the only fucking movie that ever made me actually cry.
Oh, I mean, so this works on the same general structure, and that Shallow performance, again, I buy it that he's rehearsing all day and that him and his band come up with the musical arrangement, as he says. And I'm glad they don't have to show him coming up with it. They can just say, hey, I came up with an arrangement here. Let's do this. I buy the fact that she's able to ad-lib because she's doing that in a club throughout her whole, you know, career at this
point. Did you buy her as the type that would just fly off the handle and punch a cop in a cop bar? without any.
Doubts of, yeah, another bad scene. Yeah, yeah, no, that's a bad scene.
I mean, it got you to the making of the Shallow song.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was
Here's something I don't like about Gaga's performance, again, at the spoiler. She plays like my big fat Greek wedding, daughter of a Italian family, obviously not a Greek family, but an Italian family. So she's that ethnic daughter, and she's got this persona with her dad and her dad's friends who are doing whatever, illegal gambling, whatever they're doing in the house. They got a book or whatever. And then you have her as a singer and a girl, as a performer, that's another persona, and she's got this whole persona as a performer, and then she has a persona with Bradley Cooper, and
see, I liked all that.
I like that she has multiple personas, but they're so different in terms of the performance, and to me, it's just like she. I mean, I guess it works for her character because she is willing to be fake in this story.
She doesn't know who she is. She doesn't know who she is. I mean, she's a chameleon. She fits the situation.
You and I just convinced myself that I guess that's a worse thing at all.
See, I was more Gaga. You're totally right. I was more Gaga this movie, and you were more Bradley Cooper, but that's because you're a protagonist and you're the hero of the story, and I'm just trying to sing.
So, all right, let's finish up here. My final grades.
I'm hard on this. Well, that's probably a weird thing to say, but I'm very resolute that this is an 87 B+ for me.
And I'm a 90 A-. There's a 3-point curve. I decided on that a few minutes ago. I'm a 90 A- because I was between an 89 and an A- 90 right now.
Yeah, I was BB+, and I'm going right there, right the cusp.
A lot of strengths for me, a lot of high moments. I saw things throughout the early portion that I was looking for, straight up looking for, that satiated me to the point where the end plot results were satisfying.
I think I might have given this could be a good omen for A Star Is Born too, because I think I might have given A Shape of Water in 87 as well. And right. That went on to Best Picture, sweep the Best Picture races. So,
yeah, the verbs I just used means I'm very hungry and it's very late at night and I should not eat, but I'm probably going to. Anyway.
I didn't mean to step all over you there. I was totally lost in my own head.
No, we're both lost right now. So we're going to keep seeing this movie and we're going to keep ranking it. And who knows? We may come down the pike when we do our category reviews and be much higher on it.
Yeah, it's totally a legitimate piece of the Oscar puzzle in a multitude of ways. You're going to have, it is going to be talked about in all those big five categories, mm-hmm. as well as most to the undercard. I wouldn't be surprised, like I said already, to see double-digit Oscar noms at the end of the day for this.
Just a heads up on our Oscar coverage. You know, we've been covering these movies as they've been released. Last year, we kind of covered all the OSPs all at once. We kind of flooded you.
Yeah, we're trying to space it
out. With our Oscar sprint. Now we're spacing it out. I think we're going to be able to really bite into category reviews, pre-nominations, category reviews after nominations. We're going to be able to space it out and really break these things down again and again, multiple layers down the line, give you new takes down the line. So don't take us as our definitive A Star Is Born review. It's right now after one viewing. Well,
this is what it is. This is the point of the Oscar sprint profiles. We see them. We have pretty much one shot through. We put it up against what we think Oscar pictures will look like. We'll tell you the spoilers of it, the non-spoilers. But yeah, as far as an awards profile, that certainly comes out closer to nomination time.
Yes. And so essentially come back to us. We're not done with this movie.
It's not going to be a repeat, that's for sure. Also, if Oscars aren't your thing and you just want to check this out because you're a Lady Gaga or Bradley Cooper fan, we got doing a whole horror series all month long. It is the month of October. It is the month for spooks and scares, and we're part of All the Horror, which is a big podcast collaboration, amalgamation, whatever kind of big Asian word you want to use.
Yeah.
Bunch of podcasts putting out different horror-themed episodes every day of October. We're doing our own Halloween franchise review because I am a twisted individual, and I've begged Mike to let us do this.
It's so much fun right now. It is a blast, and we had a great time recording the first two episodes of that.
So the next couple of weeks, this week you will get four episodes. This one, and we're having another one out tomorrow, another Halloween episode. Mm-hmm. Next week, you probably might get the same. I haven't looked at the schedule hardcore, but I think it's going to be the same thing because First Man comes out next week.
Yep.
So yeah, listen, if you have a movie taste, we're trying to give you a little something to nibble on throughout the month of October.
And I thought you were going to segue before into all our best original song reviews. We've done 12 episodes before, but yeah.
We just did a Lady Gaga one.
We've taken skips and jaunts into other areas of the film world, 12 Best Original Song category reviews from Oscar retrospectives that we've done. We've done a bunch of other Oscar retrospectives, mining Oscar history for a lot of good stuff. We've also done the MCU, Mission Impossible series, Conjuring Universe, another horror, you know, foray for us. So we just love movies.
And man, if you don't have an hour to kill, we have those half episodes are 30-40 minutes. Some of them, we have Devil in the Advocate episodes, which are really off-kilter takes and hot takes and craziness. Those go for about 15-20 minutes. We got you covered.
We are so awesome.
We're great. We're great. We're far from the shallow now. All right, guys. That's Reality Sucks. Keep watching movies with us. Let us know your thoughts and everything you think you heard. Are you one of these people that is just going gushing over this film? You certainly would not be the only one. Do you think it is a shoo-in for Best Picture win? Shoo-in for Bradley Cooper for director and actor? Shoo-in for Lady Gaga? Let us know. Yell at us. Tell me I'm stupid for thinking things I think. Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Facebook, Mike, Mike, and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on the Twitter machine, Mike, Mike, and Oscar.com, at gmail.com, on the Reddit machine. You can reach us all those avenues. We are available on TuneIn, SoundCloud, Stitcher, iTunes, etc., etc., etc. Michael's been rubbing his hands while I've been doing all this, so I imagine he's got really, really loaded for the final words of wisdom, Michael.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
I just wanted to take another look at you.
Son of a bitch. Guys, Reality Sucks. Like I said, keep watching movies with us. We will check you next time.
See ya. Aren't you tired trying